Greetings, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I had to look up a text. It just really kind of always strikes me. I've been so focused on funerals, on the Timothy texts and stuff that I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't even really realize it was Trinity Sunday. That's terrible. I need to repent for that. Trinity is a big word, right? I mean, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all as one, all one. And that's hard, especially for us to receive at times, but it is a message of faith. But I love how it even speaks in Acts of the Apostles, where Paul is giving a warning here. And he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained through his own blood. That verse has always brought me back to the Trinity because it talks about God purchasing each and every one of us through his own possessive blood, which is Christ Jesus, and the Spirit has given you to be overseer of it. Just very powerful part of Scripture that can point you to this Trinity. And if you open your hearts, you open your minds, you read your Scripture, which we're going to learn about today, that we need to be reading our Scripture, that you can find Trinity, I almost say in the beginning, sprinkled throughout the Scriptures. But then when I actually start reading more and more, I find it immersed in the Scriptures because you cannot separate them. Anyways, as we said, we are in 1 Timothy, and we're going to read from chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 6 through 16. This time, I'm pretty sure I have the right one printed. I really chuckled about that. What happened last week, if you weren't here, I started reading, and the first page of my reading, and all I do is double print this. It's just basically double space so I can read slower. And I wanted to add some verses for reference at the bottom, and I went to my computer and I added two, one from Mark, one from Acts. And I put it to the bottom page on the second page because I had plenty of room. Well, I said, well, I don't need to print both. I was being frugal. So I printed second page only, punched the holes in it, took this one out, and put that one in. Well, it was 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It was my Bible study from Wednesday. Oh, we're glad we could join us. If it wasn't Cole, I wouldn't have said anything. But anyways, so we'll read in Jesus' name, Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. If you put these things before you, brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and the good doctrine that you have followed. Having nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths, rather train yourselves for godliness. For while bodily training has some value, godliness is of a value in every way. It holds promise for the present life, and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this end, we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God who is the Savior for all people, especially those who believe. Commend and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity, until I come. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture and exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which you were given, was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and your teaching. Persist in this, for so by doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would be with us as we look at your word. We pray that you would allow it to be a light to our path. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth, for there's no other truth outside of your word. Amen. It's kind of interesting. you know, he speaks very openly here, Paul does, to Timothy. Now, you have to understand, I think we're spoiled. If we were taking time to actually read the scriptures, and we read through some of these letters, 1 Timothy, Titus, 2 Timothy, it's really interesting how you have a good insight of what Paul's thinking, of his teaching. It's a prized moment that we really should embrace. And so he opens up, he says, if you put these things before the brothers, you will do good, right? You will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. And because Pastor Jesse picks up at verse 6, we all think, oh, that's great. Well, what things? Context is so huge. We're the ones that divide this in little snippets. But this was a full letter. You know, if I was going to write a full letter from, you know, Texas when I'm down there to my wife, and, you know, and it looked like some of the files you get through Washington and everything's redacted, what good would that do? You wouldn't get a full context of what's being said. So Paul is saying, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. We need to say, well, what things? Chapter 1, be against false teachers. Don't allow false teachers to run around spewing out all their garbage. Don't receive what they're offering. Go back to the scripture. Go back to the word. And that's where he's going to bring us to today. Christ came for sinners in chapter 1. He's saying, remind them of that. Christ came for sinners. Yes, he came for you. He came for me. He came for Hollywood, Washington, whatever else you want. He came for them. But do they know it? Pray for all people in chapter 2. Now that you know there are false teachers, now that you know that Christ has come for all, that who have fallen short, which is all of us, pray for them. Pray for them personally. Pray for them corporately. Pray for your government. Pray for all of those that are in authority above you. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for your spouse. Pray for them. Then there's qualifications. You can't just be willy-nilly. God is a God of order. There's qualifications in chapter 3. There's qualifications for the overseer, the pastor, whatever you may call it. There's qualifications. And then there are qualifications in chapter 3 for deacons, board members, elders, however you want to say it, whatever you want to label it. It's not just something we throw somebody in there because, man, we're excited to have them at church and we don't want them to leave. I've been guilty of that. There's times that you want to find things for people to do just so they stick around. Well, what needs to keep people sticking around is the love of God, the word of God, the integrity of his preaching. That's what needs to keep people sticking around. Not just busy work. Is it valuable? The busy work is immense. But those ladies didn't go into the kitchen and serve everybody lunch at those two funerals so that they could go to heaven. They're already going to heaven by the finished work of Jesus Christ. By the gift that was given to them, they share with others. That's the difference. And then, the mystery of God is offered through the Gospels at the end of chapter 3. Put these things before the brothers. Speak about false teachers. Speak in reality about Christ coming for all sinners. Pray for the individuals. Pray for your government. Pray for those in authority above you. Pray for your board members, your pastors. There are qualifications. There is a mystery to the Word of God that maybe we won't ever fully grasp till we get to heaven. There's mysterion in the Greek is what it talks about. And then he goes to the first part of chapter 4, and some people won't like it. Some people will wander away because they'd rather have the fables, the cute little stories. So Paul is once again coming into this next part of Timothy saying, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, being trained in the words of men? Is that what it says? No, of faith. Words of faith. He says, of a good doctrine that you have followed, a good teaching. Teach the people, share with the people, encourage the people. You know, this really strikes me, especially around hunting season, because there's so many individuals that you'll visit with, and I'm one of them. I like to hunt now. I didn't used to, but my boy got into it, and I want to be with my boy, so I got into it. And I got my first buck this year at 55 years old. You know, fired up, right? But how many people say, I don't need to go to church? I can worship my God out in the woods hunting my deer. You know? But we need the fellowship. We need the teaching. And I'm going to say something else. The church needs you. We live in a world that everything's about me. But what gifts, what abilities, what things do you have to share with the congregation that we may be lacking in? And so we can always make the statement, well, God really doesn't have need of us, which I understand that because he has given us all things. But the body of Christ definitely can utilize what God has given you, what he has given you. There's a good teaching that you can follow. And he says something that's really interesting. He says, have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths. You know, stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up in religion. That's how one writer puts it. He says, rather train yourself for godliness. There's a lot of things that we kind of put off as being accurate. And there was, as I talked about last week, there's so many things that we could, you know, Google and find out what things do people take as scripture that are not even found in the scripture. And as lists of them. But there's silly little myths that oftentimes we tie ourselves to. And he says, no, stay to the true teaching. Stay to the true doctrine. He says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Do you hear those words of the Gospel of John? He gave his son. And he gave him as a ransom so that I would not have to pay the consequences of my debt. He is an appeasement for my loss, my sinfulness, my missing the mark. This is what we teach. Not every path leads to heaven. That's a silly little myth. All you have to be is good to go to heaven. That's a silly, milly myth. It's actually silly to think that I am good of myself. There are all kinds of them. He says, but actually take and in reality study godliness. And he's going to tell us how. See, we're impatient. We want pastor to say, well, then good, tell me how. He's going to. It's in the text. Let's go. Don't stay there. We'll come. He says, we understand this. Bodily training has some great value. I could stand to have some bodily training. I look at myself and I look at my son, Devin. There's a little difference there. The only thing I have going for me is I'm dad, so he won't hurt me. But the reality of it is he's disciplined in that. And this is what he's saying. You know, for a while, bodily training is of some value. Why is it for a while? Because this life is temporary. Now, if we don't take care of our body, we can make it all the quicker temporary. But the reality of it is, he says, you could put a lot of investment in this body and in this training and there's value in it, but it's only for a while. But godliness is of a value in every way. Having that relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is valuable in every way. Because when the body fails, he doesn't. When this body fails, we receive a new one in him. He says, as it holds the promise, not just in this life, the present life, but really in the life to come, eternity. Are you training to run the race only on earth? Are you building up your business to get the most customers? Are you in reality focused only on the next step in your gain? Or are we also, if we could say it this way, working out in Scripture, working out in faith, working out in those things that are for eternity? As I said, yesterday was a very eye-opening day for me. Because death is not a respecter of age. It's a reality. But what is eternal is the finished work of Jesus Christ. And everything that we hope for, everything that we desire, upon Sandy's or Benaiah's last breath, they receive in Christ Jesus. That's really living. He says, there's some value to training your body here, sure, but it's going to wear out. But what about godliness? And then he says very plainly, what I just told you is trustworthy. He says, really, and it's deserving of your full acceptance. And what I love about this is when Paul is telling Timothy this, he's saying, study it. Listen to me. Receive what I'm sharing with you, because it's forever. It truly is. He says, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on a living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. And really what he's saying is, this is our goal. This is our workout. That we would share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone that we come encounter with. Everywhere we go. This is our whole purpose. Doesn't mean that now Paul isn't doing anything else. That's what kind of makes me chuckle. Sometimes we think, well, if we're not a pastor, then we can't do this. Well, God's not just a God of part of your life. He's a God of your complete life. Whether you're playing hockey, whether you're building a house, whether you're doing some paperwork in a dentist office, wherever you may be, you are a child of God, equipped to represent Him as you do what you're called to do. Don't you love it when you get, like, say, a waiter or a waitress that's a Christian? You can just feel the difference. Sometimes if you're maybe look a little different, you might feel the difference the other way. That's wrong. No one should gauge anybody according to the externals. We kind of naturally do it, but we should resist it. But there are times that I find it so comforting when we actually can encounter each other out in the normal world. I remember when I was trying to decide very plainly, what should I do? I was called to serve a congregation. And I was called to serve this congregation, and I was not even out of seminary yet, and I didn't know what to do about it. And so it's kind of funny, I was coming home from the place where they had called me, and I was in the middle of nowhere, and it was 20 below zero, and I stopped at a Hardee's to get some food, and I hate coats. I don't wear coats in a car at all. I don't like being constrained. So I had my coat off, but I just running in a Hardee's, so I went and got some food. I came out, my door's locked, and they were frozen, and I had no coat, no nothing. I'm like, well, now what do I do? So I put my food on the car, and I ran over to a gas station, and I tried to buy some unlocked stuff, that stuff you know. Couldn't find that, so I bought a lighter, thinking I could heat the key and put it in there, maybe it'll unlock. So anyways, by the time I finally was to even get back to my car and do my lemonade was frozen already. It was slushy. I was freezing. I got to speed this up. But anyways, so I'm standing there. This lighter thing is not working. And this guy pulls up in a CarQuest truck and he says, you're in trouble? And I said, yeah. I said, can't get in my car. He says, I can't help you, but I know a guy that can. I said, okay. He said, hop in. So I hopped in. We went up a couple lights up the road, pulled in this garage. I still remember it was Stewart's Garage. And the guy, CarQuest guy, comes in with me, tells the guy behind the counter, he's locked out at Hardee's, he needs to get in his car. He says, the guy behind the counter says, the boss has got the lock kit. He says, he'll be here in about 10 minutes, just sit down, enjoy your lunch. So I sat there eating, And guy walks in, big dude like this, biker dude, long beard, long hair. And so anyways, he just walked in the door. The guy behind the counter says, hey, this guy is locked out at Hardee's. Can you help him? Yeah, okay, I got the truck. Let's go. So I got up, jumped in his rig. We are literally backing out of the parking lot. I had been praying all the way from the place I was. What do I do? Backing out of the parking lot, the guy looks at me and says, you got a serious problem, don't you? I said, well, yeah, it's 20 below and I'm locked out. He goes, that's nothing. You have a bigger problem. I looked at him. I said, well, I guess I do. I've been weighing it out in my heart. I didn't say a word to him. And he goes, you've been called to do something and you don't know if you should do it or not. I looked at this guy like he was nuts. I'm like, how does he know this? He goes, are you out here because you're preaching? And I'm like, no way. There's no way. And this guy doesn't know me at all, and he's not even near where I was. I said, yes. And then I told him, I've been called out here to be a pastor. I don't know if I should do it or not. I don't know what to do. And so then he asked me, driving along, what do you do for work? Back then, I was in Alston. I was in Bruce Crossing, and I was doing carpentry. And he looked at me and he said, I'm a pastor. I'm like, gauging from the outside, bro, you're a pastor? He's like, I'm a pastor and I don't have a church. We have an open air ministry. And he says, and I'll tell you the truth, I have the opportunity to reach people over a toolbox working on their car or in a tow truck more than I ever would behind a pulpit. He says, and if God is calling you to the ministry, consider that. You don't have to have a church. And I'm like, wow. So anyways, we get to Hardee's. 2 minutes later, he pops the lock, and he looks at me, and he says, I want to have a prayer for you. I'm like, okay, this guy towers me. Puts his hands on my shoulders. He prayed for me, and he prayed specifically, and he asked that God would give me, I don't know what you think about it, but I thought it was interesting, 3 tangible signs that I would know I'm supposed to stay here. Those signs came. Judy and I both prayed about it together and separately, and we denied it. And it was exactly the right thing to do. And then the guy looks at me and says, that'll be $75. I'm like, dude, $75? He goes, workplace ministry. I paid my bill. Never heard from the guy. Had his business card for a long time. I stopped there 3 years ago. I was driving through, and I stopped there, and he's retired. He's in Florida, and I went to the first church I could find, and it was his niece. Amazing. But anyways, this is what he's saying. We represent him no matter where we are. You guys, you represent him on the road. You represent him on the job. I represent him here. I represent him wherever I go. We all represent Christ Jesus in the position we're in. And this is what he's saying. We keep pointing people to the Savior of all people. He says, commend these teachings. Keep doing them, you know, because this is what will save this generation, save all of these people. He says, let no one despise you for your youth. And brothers and sisters in Christ, especially if you're younger and you're starting to get into this, don't let anyone use your youth as an experience. You know, the reality of it is being young doesn't disqualify you, and being old doesn't qualify you. It is God who is the qualification. It is the Spirit. It is his word. You know, and also, youth, don't despise the elders. There has to be a respect on both sides, and this is what he's saying. But Timothy was probably about 30 years old when Paul was writing to him. Can you imagine being 30 years old in a new faith, if you could say it in that way, against Israelites, against all the worldly religions in Corinth, and he's standing on the gospel. Don't let anyone take away from you because of your youth. Just as he had shared before, talking about women not holding authority over a man or preaching or teaching to a man. Just because you're a man doesn't mean you have the authority to teach and preach. You know, that's the other side of it. Here he's saying, don't let anyone despise you for your youth. He says, but set to the believers an example. In speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Just be yourself. Be what God has called you to be and allow that to be the light. And then he says very plainly, until I come, and this is what I think is amazing, devote yourself, sell yourself totally into this, the public reading of the scripture. Read the word. Read it to the people. Preach it. Teach it. That's one of the things that I think is so amazing. I don't know what's going out there in this world as far as churches, and I'm not trying to gauge anything. But one of the things that makes me amazed is people say, when they come and talk to me, I love it when I come and listen because you preach the word, you go verse by verse most of the time. Sometimes I get the wrong verses even, but anyway. But the point being is, what are they doing? What else would you preach? I'm not here to give you a motivation speech. I'm not working for Amway or Weight Watchers or things like that. We're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going through his word. But that's what he says. How much of this do we do? Devote yourself to public reading of scripture. Exhortation. So in other words, you know, bringing it out, preaching it, and teaching. Teaching the word of God. And that's something I've been struggling with. I shared with some friends this week. This is new to me, doing like all of Timothy, doing all of James. Because I kind of leave feeling like all I did is teach. But I'll make a deal with all of you. I'll stop doing all of this when I see you in Bible study every Wednesday night. But until then, we're going to have a mixture more of teaching and preaching. And so that's kind of really, really hit me, you know, that we would teach this. Don't neglect the gift that you have. This is a beautiful verse, and I want all of us to hear this. I want you young ones that are getting into this, you older ones that have been in it, and myself, I need to hear this. Don't neglect the gift that you have, which was given to you really through the preaching, the prophecy, and also when the elders laid their hands on you. And this speaks about the aspect of being blessed into the body, okay, or into the ministry. You know, he's saying, Timothy, be Timothy. Jesse had to come comfortable with that. Jesse didn't want to be Jesse. Jesse wanted to be Jay. Jesse wanted to be Chuck. Jesse wanted to be, you know, Bruce Estella. We look at other people and we watch how they preach and we want to be them. No. God has called you to be who you are. Be who you are and represent him. I am not like the others. Thanks be to God for them. And they are not like me. But you know what? This I know. We preach the same truth. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what I love about this. Don't neglect the gift that God has given you. God has gifted each and every one of us. Don't try to be anybody else. Be yourself. He says, practice these things. It's not going to be easy. You know? I went through that. I listened to a pastor preach at a convention. I went to an elder, and we were just visiting, and I said, I wish I could be more like him. And that's exactly what this elder told me. He said, Jesse, God has created you to be who you are, and him to be who he is. You be you. I wish our youth could get this. You don't have to compare yourself to everybody else. God has created you uniquely to be who you are. Yes, he will allow you to grow. He will have things in your life that will change. But he will do the work. He is the husbandman. So anyways, do not neglect the gift that which you have, you know, given to you. He says, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. And he says, so that others can see your progress. I love this. You don't need to see your own progress. Because, man, I would get pumped. Man, I nailed that one. That one was awesome. I'm getting better. That's human pride. That's silliness. But just be who you are. Continue to learn. Continue to teach. Continue to share. Continue to glorify God. And others will see the growth. Others will. He says, keep close watch on yourself and your teaching. Don't take it for granted. Keep going back. Study. Hear. Listen. He says, keep close watch. He says, persistence. Continue in it. Press it. He says, in doing so, not only will you receive salvation, but you're also giving the opportunity for each and every one that hears it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. He also tells Timothy later in chapter 4, preach the word. Continuously, in season and out of season. And we sometimes look at that and say, what does that mean? He's saying preach the word when it's popular and when it's not. When people love it, when they hate it. Keep preaching. And preach the truth. Timothy, practice these things. Immerse yourself in these things. And others will see growth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.